Ladies and gentlemen, we present the Navy Lark with our three stars, Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips. Large concerns all have different methods of communication. The civil service send memos to each other. The government issue directives. And in the BBC, if my boss wants me, he sends a spotty-faced boy who shoves his head round the door and shouts, "Oi, Big Ed, you're wanted!" It's true, but Admiralty, of course, they send signals. However, sometimes they do at least send them via Pretty Wren.
It's not that I want to be difficult in any way, you understand, Chief?
Yes, yes, of course.
Or that I wish to hinder or in any way put you out.
No.
However, with regard to your suggestion that if Able Seaman Johnson doesn't get a shift on, he's going to get a right clobbering, I would like to point out one thing.
Would you now? And what's that, my rotund little podgy pixie?
I'm not happy.
Then flaming hard luck, mate. Now go on, get below and check the stool.
Oh, that won't take long.
All right, then nip down to the bilges and find some green oil for the starboard light.
Green oil? You're having me on, aren't you?
Frankly, yes. But flutter off just the same, and for Drake's sake, do something except waddle round me telling me you're not happy.
Well, I'm not.
Johnson.
Yes, Chief?
Vanish.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Get her.
What am I missing?
Cool.
And you.
I? Oh, hello. Good afternoon, Judy. What do you got there?
A signal from Captain Purdy. It's the number one.
Is it sealed?
No.
Right, hand it over. I'm not being nosy, you understand. It's just that, well,
you want to know which way to duck.
Yeah. No, I don't want Mr. Murray to be troubled unnecessarily if I can deal with the matter instead.
Ha-ha.
Very likely. And the pressure over. Now then, what's old Plundergut's little pearl of literature this time?
Captain Purvey to Lieutenant Murray, HMS Trowbridge, Portsmouth. Further to Admiralty directive, the fitness of personnel, physical training instruction for 1 hour per day will start at 0600 hours as from tomorrow. Signed, Henry Purvey.
Oh, Jack! Oh, me leg! I've got them again!
Got what?
Got what? The flat out all fear twinging screws, of course. Ooh, the Annie Coney of it.
B.S. This signal applies to all ranks, including CPO Pertwee. Twinging screws or no twinging screws.
He's blooming persicycle. That's his trouble. Well, I don't think I'll bother number one with this little lot for a week or two.
What are you going to do then?
Solve the old problem by chucking this parachute over the side and watch it float off.
Oh, well, in that case, Captain Purvey said I was to give you this signal.
Right? What's this one about, then?
From Captain Purvey to CPO Pertwee, HMS Custody. Before you throw my first signal over the side, please note that I sent it by hand to make certain the ship received it. I shall also be aboard at 0600 tomorrow to see my instructions are carried out. Fine. Henry Purvey.
Johnny. Big brother is watching Johnson. Coming aboard, is he? Well, I bet he won't be doing any flaming physical training.
P.S. No, he won't, but you something well will. Now, take my first signal from number one at once.
You have to take it, you know, Chief.
Oh, no, he's got me covered. Oh, well, I'll pop along to the wardroom with it now. So long, Judy.
What diabolical doodah, is he?
Come in.
Oh, hello, Chief. I wanted a word with you. Indent for some more green oil, will you?
Green oil?
Yes, for the starboard light. Johnson tells me he's been below and we've run out.
Oh, Now, look,
Mr.
Johnson. Don't poor do that, isn't
it? While you're about it, you'd better check we've got enough red oil for the port light as well.
Yes, well, you see, sir, we don't really...
Yes. You'll save hours if you don't try to explain, but just agree to indent for more. He'll be much happier.
Yes,
I think you're right. What have you got there?
Oh, a red hot dead nasty from old Thundergun. He wants us all doing up on the toes, arms to wrist, and arms to lure, and running on the spot, did you? Every morning.
Really? Yeah. I take it you read the signal in order to save me the trouble.
Yeah. Hey, no. Ooh, Clag. Ooh, no. Oh, dear. Why don't Chauncey keep his big mouth shut? Oh, well, I'm afraid it did sort of plop open, as you might say, sir. Well, I couldn't help reading the first few lines.
All right. Don't bother to try to explain to me either. I'm used to your unofficial censorship of Admiralty signals.
Yeah, there's a right diabolical liberty. What would Lord Nelson have said if their rollicking lordships had asked him to get his men doing exercises?
Probably England expects this day that every man shall do his health and duty.
Mr. Murray said this is new. Imagine. I'll tell you one thing. There's one ancestor of mine who would never have stood for it.
Was he in the Navy, Chief?
Well, no. No, not exactly in the Navy, sir. He was a pirate.
Well, he was certainly one of your family, all right. Yes, obviously the Chief's quaint little ways with Admiralty property are hereditary. Do go on. What was his name?
A Captain Long Jonathan Pertwee, sir. And he commanded the Academy Clinical Roger. What? The Academy Clinical Roger.
She must have been a big ship to get a name like that painted on her side.
Yes. Well, it was something like that anyway, sir. Anyway, I'll tell you the story. Now, look. Mm-hmm. Long Jonathan never had no trouble with his pirating until he captured a certain British sailing ship called the Trevelyan Maid in 1601. Now, on board was the owner's daughter, Ramona Trevelyan, who was to be married at sea to the ship's captain, Harry Percy. Well, are you with me? Good. Right, well, they set sail for the Indies. But what they didn't know was that Long Jonathan was lying in wait for them.
This is more exciting than the serial in my copy of this week's Yogi Bear comic.
Shut up a minute, Boo Boo Phillips.
Go on, Chief. Right, well, little did the crew aboard the Trevelyan Maid know what lay in store for them as they approached the equator, where the captain's marriage was about to take place.
That sail down a bit, it did, sir.
Great day for you, Captain.
Yes.
I suppose you could call it that, Mr. Mate.
You don't seem too enthusiastic about the marriage to Miss Trevelyan, Captain.
Well, to tell you the truth, my heart is, she's not anywhere near, is she?
No. Well, I'm happy, second thought. But what can I do?
Why don't you tell her?
Tell her? Are you mad?
Allow me, sir. What is the name of this ship?
The Trevelyan Maid.
And what is the name of Captain Purvis's bride?
Ramona Trevelyan.
That's it. You're doing splendidly. Now, what is the name of the ship's owner?
Well, it's Ramona's father, Sir Jasper Trevelyan, but I don't think what that's got to do with... I say, you're in it up to your poop deck, aren't you, sir?
Watch it, Mr. Phillips. If the marriage takes place and the captain becomes joint owner, he'll have you by the halyard straight away.
Ooh, nasty.
What gave you second thoughts, Captain?
Hello, Father. Stop chatting to our little friends and come yard at once.
That's what gave me second thoughts.
Just one more of those from you, sailor, and you'll get a swift kick in the scuppers. Now then, Harry Purvis, I have a complaint.
What is it, my love? Is there something wrong?
There certainly is. I just been down to my cabin and caught one of your common sailors trying to fix this padlock.
You're what, my love?
Now, don't be dense, Apple. I demand you to take action immediately. I'm not having the oil for Lloyd trying to take a crafty peek at my old oak chest.
Of course not, my love.
Excuse me, sir. There's a 3-schooner masterhead. I mean, there's a three-headed master of screw. No, a three of screw heads on a mast.
No. Ship in front.
Yeah, thanks. I was nearly on standback.
What flag she's tied? She's not a Frenchie, is she?
Oh, no, sir, I don't think she is. Not unless the French flag is a skull and crossbones.
No, their flag... What?
Tide's closing in, sir. I think they're going to try and board us.
Well, there's a silly remark. I mean, if they're pirates, of course they're going to try and board us. Then they'll capture us and take us back to their hideout and torture us until we... I don't think she hears very well.
I wonder which pirate it is. Let's hope it's not Long Jonathan Pertwee.
Excuse me, sir. Shall I pop up to the booth, have a peep, and pop up again?
No, there isn't time for that.
Now, look here. The entire ship's crew of the Trevelyan Maid may be your prisoners, but we've got our rights. Captain Long Jonathan Pertwee, pirate of this parish.
Have you? Are the captain of a good ship that you're sending me critical, Roger? I assure you the only person aboard who acts right is me. All you're entitled to is wrong. Hear, hear. If you want to know, you're not going to be happy, you know. You are definitely not going to be happy.
No, and neither are you. A big balloon bite, Bolton. Get below and check the green oil for the starboard line.
You're verily having me on again, aren't you?
One more and I won't have you on. I'll have you over the side of the shark for them hot dinners for the month. Now tackle and drop your anchor somewhere else.
Silence! I have something to say. You've had your little joke, and I demand that you put back on your father's ship so I can marry Harry.
Oh, there's no hurry, my love.
Oh, of course, I wondered why the captain had been grinning ever since we were captured.
Oh, it's your wedding day. Well, I'd marry you myself, Barney. I'm not certain whether being married by a pirate captain would be legal. And if it wasn't, you'd be... Yes, well, never mind what you'd be. It'd mean that I'd be in trouble with the Amalgamated Party, Buccaneers, and Floating Swashbucklers Union. The ship steward, the shop steward.
Oh, what a shame. It's not that it really matters, but where are you taking us?
To be hey-de-hoo! Hey-de-hoo in the island of Anatole. But I doubt if you'll reach that far unless you watch your step. However, the lovely lady's different. Being a poor, it's a lonely life for a man. And I've always fancied a wench with spirit.
Harry Purvis, don't just stand there grinning. Say something.
You what? Oh, yes, my love. I hope you'll be very happy together.
Harold!
Never mind about Harold. Down to our cabin.
Oh, I say.
Yes, I say. You and I, Mr. Valiant, have things to discuss before we reach Anatole.
Ooh.
Yeah. In the meantime, you and the three-cornered hat with a triangular head to go with it. You can do a bit of navigating.
You mean me?
Yes. I mean you, lad. Head for the island of Anatole.
What's wrong with your own navigator?
He had a slight unfortunate, my son. He decided to nip over the side and feed the shark the hard way. Right, come, my proud beauty.
Not that, really.
Not you. Oh. I'm referring to you, Ramona.
Ooh.
Let's go below, Ramona.
Johnson. Now that we've safely landed at our hidey hole, I've been having a little think about things. And I've decided that I've been treating you with a gross unfair manner. I'm just about to put things right.
How are you? Well, I've got you, Kent, here. To Whopper Johnson on account of sackings of cities and scuttings of ships, 200 gold sovereigns, 6 casks of precious jewels, and 14 days leave with pay.
No, Whopper Lad. I'm not talking a paltry financial gain.
Well, I should have guessed what I'm offering you, Whopper Lad.
What I'm offering you is the most precious jewel of them all.
Eh? I've got a feeling I'm not going to be happy.
Oh, yes, you are, shipmate of mine. Yes, you are. I've noticed that you've had your roving sailor's eye on the fair Ramona Trevelyan.
Thought she was a brunette.
Don't quibble. Because I, the gallant Captain Long Jonathan Pertwee, am giving you the fair damsel.
But I don't want her.
Then blow your 17th century luck, mate. You've got her. I've had enough. Off you go, lad. The leper outfitted Trevelyan is calling. She's given her mating call to the water bird.
Well, I'll go, but she's laid an egg this time.
Be that as it may, lad, I'm going to see the prisoners. Good morning, Yachty.
Ah, so you've turned up at last, have you? May I remind you that we're British citizens and that we demand to see the governor of the island?
Yes, I've got your chitty about that.
Have you? Oh, have you? Yes. Well, as the ship's lawyer, I should point out that I've read this all up. And, yes, I have. And according to the Factory Act of 1402... yes, and a big stroke 3, part 1... As the prisoners of the first part, held by you as capturer of the second part. Yes. Don't you think you've got us by the third part? No. And in conclusion, gentlemen of the brewery, jury, 30 days since September, which proved without any shadow of doubt that my client was in Carshalton. The defense rests.
And not before time.
Here we are. Before the nits of the first part get going again, I may as well tell you that I'm taking you up to see the governor straight away.
Oh, thanks very much. I didn't think you'd allow us to see him for a moment.
You can see him all day if you like. You don't know the governor. He's waiting for us at another little house.
Well, then, anyone else want another dish of cocoa?
Not for me, thank you, Governor.
Yeah,
nor me.
And I wouldn't toss and stop with a
barge, sir. We all know that, dear. Now, gentlemen, what seems to be the trouble?
Well, sir, you're not going to believe this.
Right, well, in that case, we won't bother to listen to it. But who are these idiots?
Pirates, sir!
Steady, chap. We all know Captain Long Jonathan is an honest trader.
Which reminds me, how did we do for a few gallons of that delicious Malmsey wine, Captain?
You haven't been forgotten, madam. I've left Whopper Johnson guarding many a barrel in our old
splendid! Another successful trip. Carry on. Main business of the day is now over.
Enjoyable, isn't it, Shemar? As prisoners of the first part, being held by the Factory Act, I can definitely prove...
You're a three-cornered nit.
Exactly. Oh, very funny. Don't you forget, he who laughs last should never roll stones at too many cooks who are living in a glass house. Now, you answer that if you can.
I wouldn't dare try.
No, quiet, chaps. There's a very simple answer to all this. Piracy on the high seas is a very serious charge, but I've already received a plea from Long Jonathan for leniency. He reckons that a voyage or two under him will put you back on the straight and narrow.
You can be my steward, and I'll have an old triangular bunk to have it added to my navigator.
Oh, you haven't lost another navigating officer, surely?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
No, you're getting jolly careless. You lose your navigating officer on every trip.
Well, I have to. They know what I've been.
What?
I know.
I mean, it's a long series of highly unlikely, pure blind coincidences, for which I have a long series of equally unlikely, ever hopeful explanations that I won't bore you with now.
Oh, good man, good man.
Calling you lot, we're putting the seas into a bit more honest trading. Immediately.
Go away. Haven't you seen the notice? Whopper Johnsons are not supposed to speak to Foxy Goldstein while he's poop lookout and the ship's in motion.
Well, suit yourself, Foxy. I was only trying to put things right.
Now, where are you? Well, I've got the account here. To Foxy Goldstein, on account of him beating Whopper Johnson at shove half sovereign and borrowing 9 pieces of 8, comes to a total of...
No, Foxy. I'm not talking about paltry financial gain.
Well, I am.
No, you're not. I'm offering you the most precious jewel of them all.
I'd rather have the money, sir.
No, you wouldn't. Because the gallant Whopper Johnson is giving you the fair damsel Ramona Trevelyan.
I don't want her.
Then blow your 17th century luck, you've got her.
Foxy, where are you, Foxy?
See? Off you go, Foxy. Your little vixen's calling you.
But I can't. I'm on poop lookout duty.
Well, you explain that to her, not me.
You're rotten, and an absolutely stinking English rotten at that.
Hello? Something's leaking.
No, it isn't. Whopper, come here. How would you like to make some money?
Well, I'm not averse to that. Ain't much.
Lots and lots of money, Whopper. More than you've ever dreamed of.
Oh, I get that. When it comes to money, my dreams are very expensive, you know.
Well, if you'll help us, Sir Jasper Trevelyan, who owns our ship, will see your dreams come true.
Well, go on. I'm interested. I am, you know. I'm definitely interested. What do you want me to do, then?
Well, nothing much. Just start a mutiny.
Oh, well, that shouldn't take very good evening.
No, wait. Money, Whopper. Money.
Yeah. There is that to be considered.
Do you think the men would mutiny if Sir Jasper makes it worth their while?
Well, I think most of them would mutiny without. Hang on a minute. I'll have a word with Foxy Goldstein about this. Foxy!
I'm not speaking to you, so don't expect an answer.
Money, Foxy. Money.
Hello, Whopper. It's nice to see you. What's up, then?
Well, that lot from the Trevelyan maid are offering us money if we mutiny.
Mutiny? We'll get expelled from the union. How much?
Lots. What do we do?
Tell him to see the boatswain. He's around here somewhere. You'll know what to do.
Right, shan't be long. Hoo-wee. Boatswain. Hoo-wee. Boatswain.
Yes, that's me. Yes, boatswain. Yes, that's me rank. Yes. Rank,
who? You, boatswain.
Oh,
these here prisoners wants words with you.
Ah, words. Yes, words. Yes, you can't beat words. No.
We were wondering...
Just a minute. No. Carry on.
Well, we want you to mute a starting it. And Martha Scutney. Strike.
Ah, yes. Capital idea, yes. I already have. Yes. I'm a secret, you see.
Are you?
Yes.
Well, you're safe with us.
Mr. Mate, what are these two talking about?
I've no idea. As far as I'm concerned, it's just a lot of words.
Yes, words. Words. Can't have enough of them. No. Mutiny, eh? Not needed now. No. I'm a Bow Street floater, you see.
What? A Bow Street floater, sir? That's the same as a Bow Street runner, but he works on ships.
Yes. Got this case buttoned up. Put Long Jonathan's compass out. What? Yes. Won't meet the Spanish merchant ship at all now. We'll be meeting a British man of war instead. Boom.
Boom?
No, bang. Another pirate done for.
Well, that's a relief. Yes, I think.
Ship approaching on star and bow, Captain.
Action stations, my hearty. Here we go for another load of lovely loot. That's what he thinks. Take cover. Yes, cover.
I already have.
Everybody! Yes! Down! Yes! Oi! Who threw that lot? Timmy, cut that out! Captain Long Tullison, for sake! Full sail ahead! Set the Spaniards on it, lads! We shall never surrender to the rascally blackguards! Fight for the back, lads, and show no quarter. We shall never be taken prisoner for these Spanish comrades. Yes, well, of course. If that nits of a poop lookout had told me that you were the British man of war, I'd have surrendered straight away.
Capital, capital. But as prisoners of the British Navy, I must warn you that anything you say may be taken down and may well, by George, yes, may be well used in evidence.
You'd better get yourself a new quill straight away, because I've a great deal to say.
No, look here, madam.
Silence. Ramona's doing the talking.
Yes, we noticed that.
Are you not the captain?
I do have that doubtful honor, yes, madam.
Good boy. Stand right where you are. I've got a little job for you. Harriet! Harriet Harvest!
Yes, madam?
Heel! That's it. Now then. Careful while you're getting
married. Oh, certainly, but... Yes, now, look here.
Oh, I may be going to get hoisted for the yard off. But I'm heading on in clover. Compared with you, Harry boy.
That will do.
Off you go, Captain. Let the battle commence.
Thank you. If ever I've seen a bridegroom who is not happy, no, definitely not happy, it's this one. It worries me. It worries me a lot.
What happened there?
Well, nothing much, Mr. Pickett. But it did have an happy ending. After a couple of weeks at sea with Ramona pounding round the ship, the British crew mutinied, and Captain Long Jonathan took command of the man of war. His first command was to cast Ramona and poor Captain Purvis off in an open boat near a remote island. Well, it hadn't been remote before. Well, after she'd been on it for a bit, nobody went near the place for years.
Yeah, all very interesting, Chief. Not that I believe a word of it, but very interesting. And now I think we'd better turn in. PT on the deck at 6 tomorrow, I'm afraid.
Turn in, sir? It's far too early. Look, it's still daylight.
Daylight? It can't be, sir. It was dusk when I came in here.
Well, look for yourself.
You blithering chatterbox, it is daylight. You must have been talking all night.
Now, miss, so he has. I just felt my chin. I need a shave. I've got the 5 o'clock fluff.
And what the blue blistering blazes do you think you three are doing?
Oh, it's all thundercats. We were just going to bed, sir.
What?
My leg! I've got it.
Oh, I've got it. It's the twinging screws again.
If we could just sit this one out, sir. Tomorrow we...
No excuses. Out on the deck, the lot of you. On the feet, double time.
That was Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips working their passage in The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. Stephen Murray was the number one, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Captain Purvey was played by Richard Caldicott, Judy was Judy Cornwell, Ramona Trevelyan was Heather Chasen, Johnson was Ronnie Barker, Goldstein was Daniel Evans, and Ironbridge was played by Michael Bates. The recorded production was by Alistair Scott Johnston.